morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. Coming up later on Air Talk, we're going to focus on charter schools, legislation in Sacramento, which would give local districts more latitude to deny petitions for charters. Charter school supporters say that may be the death knell for their alternative form of public school. We'll hear the pros and cons later, but first, to show you we're very up to date in the 5 minutes since I just billboarded what was to come with state legislation on that fund for wildfire damage liability. It was passed. So the bill now goes to Governor Newsom, who proposed this $21 billion liability fund. He's expected to sign it tomorrow. With us with the latest details, Los Angeles Times, Sacramento-based reporter Taryn Lunesh, who's right outside the Capitol building. Taryn, thanks very much. So how was the vote on this?
The vote was very strongly in favor of the proposal. 63-8 was the floor vote, and they only needed 54 to pass it.
So it was not a tight vote at all. This does, despite the fact that critics were concerned it was a bailout for the utilities?
Critics have been concerned that it was a bailout for the utilities, and you heard a little bit of that in the debate on the floor. I mean, one legislator talked about how it's hard for him to see this as anything other than a reward for monstrous behavior, and that the state really needed to prioritize safety. But you heard a lot from other legislators who were concerned that if they didn't act this year and we saw more utilities file for bankruptcy or saw credit ratings downgrades, that costs would increase even greater for customers of the utilities in California.
What about the ability of cities to purchase parts of private companies like PG&E and establish municipal utilities? I know that was one of the things that they were talking about. Does this bill prohibit cities from acquiring assets of the private companies to do that?
It doesn't seem like it prohibits the companies from doing that, but it does make it harder because it requires some more approval by state regulators before they can go off and sell the equipment. It was something that you saw several big city Bay Area mayors speak to and raise some concerns with this week. And in turn, you saw some state legislators who represent those areas either lay off the bill or vote against it.
Where is the money coming from for the $21 billion fund?
So there's actually two different models. One model would be less, with about $10.5 billion strictly from ratepayers through an increase or an extension of a charge on their utility bills for another 10-plus years. The other model would take that $10.5 billion from ratepayers and double it with another $10.5 billion from utilities. They would have to put that money up over the next several years, with about $7.5 billion from the utilities coming in the next year, and then more annually over time.
So that would essentially come from the shareholders in those publicly traded utilities.
Right. And again, it would be a match from what's coming from ratepayers. Legislators have really tried to say this wasn't an increase in rates because it's just going to extend a rate that would sunset next year.
And what about the ability of companies like PG&E or Southern California Edison to increase their rates in anticipation of fires that could be attributed to their equipment? Are they still limited in the amounts of increases that they can pass on to customers in anticipation of that?
The regulatory process doesn't really allow them to pass off costs in anticipation. You have to go through a process in which it's determined that the utility either didn't act reasonably to prevent the fire or straight up behaved negligently. And then in those instances, those increases could be blocked. But otherwise, they typically have been allowed to be passed on to ratepayers. One thing that lawmakers are really grabbing onto in this bill is it says that PG&E has to exit its bankruptcy by next year without increasing rates on customers. So they're hopeful that that will prevent increases that otherwise would have happened as a result from the bankruptcy.
And was that most given reason for supporting this by the governor and other advocates like Chris Holden, that if they didn't do this, that then there was no way for the companies to get out of bankruptcy?
That's one of the major things. I mean, we saw the ratings agencies this year put a lot of pressure on the state governor in the legislature. I mean, some were liking it to a gun to the head, right? They told them that they didn't pass something by July 12th, which is tomorrow, they would lower the credit ratings for SDG&E in San Diego. I'm sorry, SDG&E in Southern California Edison. That, in turn, could make borrowing costs and their access to capital go up, which is often allowed to be passed on to ratepayers. So anytime they wanted to borrow money, it would cost more because their ratings were lower. And then again, ratepayers would have to pick up that increase in cost. So there was those concerns as well. There's also concern that if you don't do anything this year, we see these ratings decline actually happen. And then you have a big wildfire in Southern California Edison territory, which is much of Southern California, that Edison could also file for bankruptcy. And then we'd have a problem in the state with our two largest utilities in bankruptcy. So you heard a lot of concerns about what could happen if they didn't do it, as well as some comments about how they thought this would protect ratepayers from higher increases as a result of bankruptcies, as well as the general idea that the bill requires, the companies to exit, PG&E to exit bankruptcy without increasing costs on ratepayers and settling their claims from 2017 and 18 wildfires. So the hope was that wildfire victims would be paid out, and it would protect ratepayers. Of course, all of this is kind of yet to be determined until we see it in real life.
Taryn, thank you so much for walking us through the complexities of this. Even for a bill in Sacramento, this is a highly complex one, and you've done a great job of laying out all the moving pieces of it. Thank you for taking the time, because I know you're working on updating your story on Deadline. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Appreciate it. LA Times Sacramento-based reporter Taryn Luna joining us on Air Talk. Also with us is Michael Aguirre, who is a San Diego-based attorney who represents utility customers in a case pending before the U.S. Supreme Court, having to do with the petition San Diego Gas and Electric filed with the nation's high court. Mr. Aguirre, thank you for being with us. Why do you think the legislature made a mistake here?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that the utilities are a prime source of political contributions for the legislature. So the legislature needs to keep the utilities financially healthy so that the utilities can continue to finance the campaigns of a vast majority of the members of the legislature. There's strict rules already in place that say that if a utility violates those safety rules, they cannot recover uninsured damages. That's what happened when we tried the case against San Diego Gas and Electric, and the administrative law judges found that they violated safety rules in the 2007 fires, and so they had to forego $379 million for uninsured damages. And now what's happened is the governor's wiped all that out. The rates will automatically go up. If there's a new wildfire, the rates will automatically go up. They get rolled. Those new rates provide the payments for the new bonds that will be issued by the Department of Water Resources, which means now the state of California and the taxpayers are going to have to stand behind an unlimited amount of increases in the wildfires. I estimate it's going to be somewhere between $225 to $250 billion over the next 15 years. Instead of going to the utilities and saying, you must stop the wildfires, we're not giving you any more money until you stop the wildfires, and going to the institutional investors and telling them we need them to put the pressure on management to change, to start providing safe electricity, and to tell the rating agencies that the kind of extortion that their practices that they're engaged in cahoots with the utilities and the institutional investors, that's the same thing that was done that forced the Congress to do the 2008 bailout. Those kinds of extortionate tactics should be investigated because it's not a proper thing to tell the state of California that unless you give us what we want, which is the huge bailout, we're going to downgrade. And if they did downgrade and they went into bankruptcy, nothing would happen because you cannot end services. You cannot use bankruptcy to end electricity services. There's specific laws that prohibit.
All right. We're talking with Michael Aguirre, San Diego-based attorney who represents plaintiffs in a case against San Diego Gas and Electric over wildfire costs from 2007, massive fires there. Also with me from the California Independent Energy Producers Association, CEO Jan Smutney-Jones. Mr. Smutney-Jones, thank you for being with us. First of all, your response to what Mr. Aguirre just said, that there wouldn't be a downside to bankruptcy for the customers of these electricity companies.
No, actually, there's a significant downside of bankruptcy to the customers of these utilities. Right now, PG&E is in bankruptcy. People who are victims of their wildfires are what's called unsecured creditors. So they are in a pool of money that may or may not materialize, and their damages may, what they recover may be fractions of what they actually lost. I think the importance of this bill is critical, and I thought Ms. Luna from the LA Times did a very good job of sort of laying it out. What this bill does do is it does create mechanisms to address safety, very specific standards, and a process where fire experts in the Natural Resources Agency will be developing various criteria that the utilities must comply with going forward to prevent future wildland fires. It basically comes up with a better definition of prudent manager standards, and this is important because there's something called inverse condemnation that is at the heart of what this financial instability of the investor-owned utilities are facing. And by the way, this inverse condemnation also applies to publicly owned utilities such as Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, Glendale, Burbank, et cetera. Hopefully we can get into more of that in just a few minutes. And then most importantly, this stabilizes the financial situation for the investor-owned utilities. I think, as was indicated by Ms. Luna of the LA Times, a credit downgrade means your rates go up. A bankruptcy will end up with your rates going up. Doing nothing results in your rates going up. So there is no magic money here. And it, you know, it is important that the legislature moved forward on this today. I think we should be proud of our government being able to address this in a bipartisan manner. This was a tough vote for them. But there's, you know, there was, you know, over 30,000 homes destroyed over the last couple of years. I think it's 139 people have died in these fires. So this is something that's affecting all of us. It's a big deal. And I think my hat's off to both the governor and the legislature for trying to take a leadership role on this. And I will point out there is a lot more work to be done in other areas. So this is not over with. This is just an important step.
At the heart of Mr. Aguirre's critique is that there's nothing here to require the electricity companies end their negligent practices when it comes to maintaining their equipment and transmission lines, the things that led to these catastrophic fires in the first place. Can you respond to that contention that this really isn't holding the companies accountable for the kind of maintenance and safety measures they need to take?
Two things. One thing is, I think Mr. Aguirre is wrong in that contention. But more importantly, you use the word negligence. And what's going on with respect to utility equipment, the wires, and that's really what we're talking about that causes fires, a utility, whether they're a privately owned utility like Southern California Edison or a public utility like Los Angeles Department of Power, are strictly liable for fires that result from the operation of their equipment. That's the interpretation of our Constitution by our courts here in California. That's called inverse condemnation. So if their electrical property that's committed for the public good, all of us, because we all use that grid, causes a fire, they're strictly liable regardless of their negligence. So this bill does have, lays out a new safety structure, basically to put experts in charge of basically making sure that they are meeting these criteria. They will be required in order to access any of these funds to have a valid safety certificate. If they don't have one of those safety certificates, they're not, they can't access these funds. And these funds, by the way, are designed to basically equitably and expeditiously basically help wildfire victims in short order. So I don't think it's leaving anybody off the hook. There is a great deal of activity already taking place under legislation that was enacted last year to do various types of preventative measures with respect to wildland fires.
Okay.
You know, everybody is taking this very seriously.
Let me raise a listener question with you. Belinda writes on our AirTalk page, "It's time to take utilities out of private hands. We are paying for poor management and subsidizing private profits. One might object by saying large governmental agencies are inefficient, but those governmental agencies aren't burning citizens. We have the worst of both worlds from private utilities. Let's at least stop paying top dollar for such abysmal service." Jan Smutney Jones, your response to the contention that it would be better if all of the electricity provided in California came from public nonprofit agencies?
I'm not sure that helps at all. And as a matter of fact, there's a case right now in Northern California, a small public utility district in Trinity County had a wildland fire. It's very small. They only have like an annual budget of about $12 million a year. There's probably 20 people that work for them. And they burned down about 20,000 acres and destroyed some property in Trinity County. They're having this exact same problem with inverse condemnation. Their ratepayers are on the hook. As I said earlier, if LADWP has a fire, and I pray to God they don't, as being ratepayers in L.A., would be strictly liable for that fire as well. So my own utility here in Sacramento, the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, is a world leader in green energy. They have very properly maintained their rights of way for transmission lines into the Sierras. They're on credit watch. Okay, so they got affected by all of this as well. So the municipalization of the transmission system is not a panacea.
Okay. Jan Smutney Jones with us, California's Independent Energy Producers Association. Back to attorney Michael Aguirre, based in San Diego, who represents customers in a case against San Diego Gas and Electric filed with the U.S. Supreme Court. So what's next? Governor Newsom is expected signs this tomorrow. Then what sort of recourse do you see it having for ratepayers?
Well, may I just say this? If think about this for a second. Right now, San Diego Gas and Electric was not permitted to recover $400 million of uninsured coverage because of the 2007 fire, because we showed that they violated the existing safety rules, which are put into something called General Order 95. So we already have that in place. We already have a very specific example of a utility not showing that it was prudent and disallowing the money. So there's no need to do all these other things except to create the opportunity for the utilities to push their liabilities onto the ratepayers. So what's going to happen next is this. The idea that you're going to extend a rate and change it from paying for the excessive priced electricity that we did in 2001 when that rate was put into place, and you're just going to extend that through the legislature, we'll be challenging that in Northern District Court, Northern District of California Federal Court, because they're violating the taking provisions of the Fifth Amendment, because only the CPUC can impose a rate. Otherwise, it's a tax. So the legislature is acting illegally when they do that. Number two, they're attempting to change the prudency rule. The prudency rule has been in effect in California since 80 years.
What is it?
It basically says that the utility, before the utility can get your money, they have to show they acted reasonably. So in the case of San Diego Gas and Electric, they sought $400 million. We had a trial, and the administrative law judges, the Fourth Appellate District, the California Supreme Court all ruled in our favor and said, hey, SDG&E, you didn't prove you acted reasonably, so you're going to have to pick it up. Now, what happened to SDG&E? SDG&E then changed all their practices. SDG&E hasn't had a fire in 10 years, but PG&E ignored it. Southern California Edison ignored it. They didn't change their practices. And what they're saying now, particularly PG&E, is don't make us live by the rules. Just bail us out, put all the incentives in favor of more wildfires, and things will be okay.
Michael Legarry, I need to wrap, but thank you for being with us, San Diego-based attorney. My thanks to Jan Smutney-Jones, California's Independent Energy Producers Association, and Taryn Luna of the Los Angeles Times. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, we'll talk about legislation in California which could significantly limit charter school creation and some of the terms in their freedom to operate. We'll hear the pros and cons in 1 minute.